Greetings, bad movie lovers, and welcome to a special sneak preview of one of the new members-only series here at the show, Bimon Sci-Fi Con.
That's right, it's Bimon Sci-Fi Con!
Join me and my co-host Stephanie Kennerly, who you may remember from such episodes as Volcano, Sudden Death, and Life, as we get together twice a month to venture across the landscape of science fiction from the astounding to the absurd. Last time out, we searched for the truth with Mulder and Scully in the X-Files movie. And this time, we're staying X-Files adjacent with Ivan Reitman's Evolution from 2001. Please enjoy this sneak preview. And away we go.
All right. Okay, so Evolution. Sorry to just like jump on your pick and start talking first. But
no, go for it. I mean, I'm glad that you were excited about it. I sort of picked it because I had to make it happen now, or it wasn't going to happen again, I don't think.
Yeah, I was one of those people who was like super excited about it when I knew that it was Ivan Reitman, and I'm a Ghostbusters fan. And so I was trying to think back on like when I saw it for the first time, and I was like, I must have seen it in theaters because I know I was excited for it. So it occurred to me, I was like, I can figure out exactly when I saw it for the first time because I have kept a journal since the year 2000. And at the end of each year, I put a collage of all my ticket stubs. So I pulled out my journal from 2001 and I found my ticket stub to see Evolution. Wow. So I can tell you exactly. I saw it on June 20th at 2:30 p.m. for a cost of $5.25.
Wow, that's a pretty good ticket price. I guess inflation on ticket price isn't that bad, maybe.
Yeah, you know, that's, when you think about it that way, like 20 years ago, 24 years ago, and it's like, I don't know, I can usually pay 10 bucks to get into a movie now. I mean, that's the cheap price, but I'm not sure whether the $5.25 was a matinee or a prime viewing, but whatever. Either way, that worked for me then, and, you know, I can afford some ticket prices now sometimes.
I think I saw this in theaters. I'm like 90% sure, but I remember also watching it at home a few times after it came out. So it kind of all blends together because then I haven't watched it in 25 years or so. There's been a huge gap between the first time, or the first times, plural, and watching it in my living room between yesterday and this morning, 25 years later.
I bought it on DVD. It's part of my collection. But I haven't watched it in a long time. I think the last time I watched it was around 2009. I can remember watching it with a friend that lived in California. So I remember when I visited her last. And that was still, yeah, like a long time ago for me as well. Not 20 years, but what, 15? Oh my gosh.
Time. Yeah, a long time.
We don't like time.
Yeah, you know, time's a flat circle. It's not real. Whatever we got to tell ourselves. As you know, as I watch this, unfortunately, on Pluto TV, I should have just paid the $4 to rent it, not dealt with commercials. But either way, I kept trying to sort of ask myself who this movie's audience ideally was, because looking back at it now, I cannot believe that this movie got an $80 million budget. It blows my mind to think that a studio financed this for $80 million, because I'm like, is this for like cross fans of The X-Files, American Pie, Men in Black, and Ghostbusters? Like, it's such a weird mix of all these different sort of things. Like, Sean William Scott is in it because of his fame from American Pie. Like, it doesn't make any other sense to like have him in that role and have that role be so prominent. And then, of course, David Duchovny's coming off The X-Files, which I'm not sure if he had just left like the show at that point, because the movie was 98 and I know Robert Patrick took over sometime in the 2000s. So it might have been when he was working on that show less. But then to like step into basically another X-Files movie where there's, again, a big cave with aliens and
military operation
on top of it. Like a lot of the visual representation of the movie is similar too. So if you're going to cast Duchovny, I assume you're banking on the fact that he's got X-Files popularity at that point. And then Ivan Reitman directing, you know, the movie, I think structurally is very similar to Ghostbusters in that these guys are kind of like goofy, bro-y scientists that are into this particular thing. And then they're on top of it. And it gets, you know, a little bit away from Ghostbusters. But then the Sean William Scott character is kind of like Ernie Hudson. I mean, the firefighters, Ghostbusters are in the firehouse. Like, there's so many sort of like tangential similarities between the two.
Yes. One scene in particular that like really reminded me of Ghostbusters is kind of off the track that you were going for, but when the governor shows up and Ted Levine is trying to blame, you know, Harry and Ira for all the troubles, and they all start kind of yelling at each other. It's very much like that scene in Ghostbusters with the, you know, in the governor's office with the EPA inspector Walter Peck and them all yelling at each other. And it gave me a smile, like being reminded of that so acutely in the moment last night.
Yeah. And then the governor's Dan Aykroyd too. So like, you know, you can't really like avoid the comparisons, but I made a note to myself to look at Reitman's film catalog at the time to see like what was going on. And so he did Twins in 88, Ghostbusters 2 in 89, Kindergarten Cop in 90, then Dave Jr. Father's Day, and then 6 Days, Seven Nights, which is Harrison Ford and Ben Hache. Then this movie, then a TV movie, then My Super Ex-Girlfriend. So this was like sort of towards the end of his filmmaking career, because after Super Ex-Girlfriends, No Strings Attached and Draft Day in 2014, and those are the last two. So for this to come like in the middle of sort of the end, I would say, and coming off of like a decent run of between Ghostbusters 2 to Junior, I think is a good run. He likes Junior. Arnold likes Junior. But I mean, that's widely considered a bad movie. I've talked about it on the main show. So I was just like, why did he accept this project? Where did the interest in making this movie come from? And I just like, I don't know if I ever sort of felt a real answer to that question, because it's not necessarily the most sci-fi movie. Right. It's not like a real like horror movie. It's kind of an adult comedy, but also is PG-13, so it doesn't really venture into the full like American Pie kind of comedy, although there's a lot of like sexual innuendo and things going up rectums and
and we do get, you know, David Duchovny flashing us his ass, which is kind of nice. But that's an interesting thought exercise to imagine where they could have taken it if they decided to do R rating instead of PG-13. A little raunchier, maybe. That could have been fun.
Well, yeah, the movie ends with like the implication that Duchovny and Julianne Moore's character are boning in the fire truck, which is fine. But like, I feel like that tone of the movie wants to be more pronounced. But also, hey, this is a movie that we're trying to sell. We're giving you $80 million. You can't like do all the things that you want to do.
Yeah. You know, I always think it's kind of weird in certain types of movies where when they push it to PG-13 instead of R, because like when you're in certain circumstances, you're absolutely going to say fuck like censoring the characters and making them like talk around their emotions is always a little strange. Not quite as pronounced in this movie as in some, you know, movies, but I still always kind of crave a little bit more adult kind of, I don't know, behavior. I'm a big fan of rated R movies. PG-13 is not my jam.
And I think like we're adults Right. So that makes sense to want to have movies made for adults, even when looking back. It's not that I don't understand the decision to make it PG-13, but, you know, one of the early jokes that's in the movie when they go down to the cave and they're trying to convince the cops to like let them take samples. The cops are down there taking pictures and he says, let's see a little more nightstick. And I'm like, the movie wants to be that kind of movie.
Right. Yeah. I agree. They're definitely flirting around that sort of tone. But it pulls back every single time. And maybe that's one of the reasons why it feels like the comedy doesn't 100% land. Like I was thinking about it last night and I thought this feels more like a heh heh movie than a ha ha movie. I don't know if that came across, but
no, it definitely does. I feel like
every joke they do, I get where they're going with it. I kind of like it. It just doesn't quite get there.
Thank you for checking out this preview episode of Bi-Mon Sci-Fi-Con. I look forward to embarking on this journey with Stephanie, and I hope you had a good time with us too. If you did, you can join the Resistance members only and get more exclusives like Bad Movie Futures, Rom-Comathon, and anything else I decide to tack on by clicking on the link in the show notes or going to badmovieswelove.captivate.fm/support.
Yes, that is a mouthful. Probably switching over to Patreon in 2026. So, until next time,
thank you for listening. Be good, do good. Take care, everybody.
Mr. Pop.
Eat.